Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Aramar Tefio on blogtalkradio.com. The views expressed here are not necessarily those of all hosts, guests, or producers, and the show is for a mature audience.
Good evening, and welcome to the Green Egg Radio Hour. I'm Ariel Montserrat. Good evening, and welcome to the Green Egg Radio Hour. I'm Ariel Montserrat, and my co-host, Sylvie Selou, who's normally with me, is not able to be here tonight, and she has requested that we send some healing energy to her family and her father. And her father has a brain tumor and isn't expected to live more than another, you know, day or two. And so she's having to be by his side all of the time, and she's extremely exhausted from caring for him for 24/7. So, you know, if we can just send some healing energy to the family and to Sylvie. And our special guests tonight are Kira Withers and Tanya Bennington, creators of the children's books Rupert's Tales, a series of books about a rabbit learning the old pagan ways. Kira is the author, and Tanya is the illustrator. Kira is the author of Rupert's Tales, a growing series of children's books featuring Rupert the rabbit, who learns about the wheel of the year when people come to the forest where he lives to celebrate seasonal holidays. Kira celebrates Sabbats, moon phases, and other magical gatherings with friends of Rupert and performs Rupert's tales and tunes at festivals. She also writes fantasy genre fiction novels, including the recently released Mii's Search for Beauty. She's a longtime member of an official Adopt-a-Road crew, helping to care for Mother Earth, and is a member of the Puka Pages team, occasionally contributing short tales to the free e-zine. Kira loves to write and sing children's songs, so may burst suddenly into song at any given moment.
Ah!
How nice, so you know. Kira's latest adventure will be launching the Friends of Rupert show through the Illuminati Network, an organization dedicated to providing information from an occult perspective to promote diversity and understanding. In addition to Rupert's tales, songs, and stories, episodes will include such topics as the science of magic, mundane and magical uses of herbs, moon phases, tools of the craft, and more. Tanya Bennington Osborne's lifelong labor of love has been to explore and express the miracles that make up her world. Born in Florida and raised in Ohio, Tanya distinguished herself as a serious artist by age 11 when she received an award from the Young Authors Guild for her work in illustrations. From there, her recognition and respect only grew. Her impressive resume describes and defines a successful and meaningful career filled with prestigious honors and awards. Formally educated at Ohio State University, the Columbus College of Art and Design, the Dayton Academy of Design, Tanya expertly creates in soft pastel, graphite, watercolor, acrylics, and oils. Her favorite subject is figurative drawing and portrait work. Her favorite medium is soft pastel on suede. Oh, that sounds beautiful. An art form which she has lovingly embraced and genuinely enriched through her own unique innovations and experiments. Tanya's work is displayed internationally at various galleries and private clientele. Okay, you can find them on a couple of places. They're on YouTube. They have a YouTube channel, and it's for free stories and tunes. And that, let's see, and then there's also the website, and then there's a Facebook page. And so I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to Kira and Tanya so they can tell you what these websites are.
Well, so, first we have to sing, Ariel.
Okay.
Here
okay.
we go. Ready?
Yeah.
Tanya, stop rolling your eyes. Okay. I'm a friend of Rupert, sing it loud and clear. If you're a friend of Rupert, then give a great big cheer. Yay! Everybody, come on, yay!
Yay! I'm a friend of Rupert. I've been reading the books, and I have to say the illustrations are just so sweet and moving. And the it's like poetry. It's written like in a poetic form, and it's just, it's beautiful. And tonight after the show, I'm going to read some of this to my husband, who's been enjoying it. And
terrific.
So yeah, we really we get to be kids, you know, when you read kids' books.
Yes, I know. That's why I enjoy it so much. Ha ha.
Yeah. So what age group are the Rupert's Tales titles created for?
Well, Tanya, you want to take that one?
Well, I actually was approached with that very question several times with many of the book signings I've been on. And to be quite honest, there really isn't an age limit. I asked my personal local bookstore owner what she thought as far as when she read it and where she wanted to place it. And she said, well, she said, when there's pictures to look at, how can you put an age on it? It's great for everybody.
Yeah.
So, you know, yes, for a younger age, it would be more visual. You know, if you're in the teenage years, you can read it by yourself and as adults as well. Because it's a learning and visual tool, it's really good for anyone that wants to share or, you know, to learn themselves.
It's really good. Our stories are good from cradle to grave, sincerely.
Mm-hmm.
So, but we have to market them as one way or another, so they get slotted in the children's book section, which is great. It's wonderful. But we really need you to know that they're good for every age. And so please spread that word.
Well, I can certainly testify to that because I'm not a kid and I'm just enjoying, I mean, really, truly enjoying them. They've just really brightened my life.
Good, good. We like, what I do for festivals is that we do a Rupert's Tales and Tunes performance. And so I read one or two of the stories, and we've had Tanya's illustrations put on foam board, so they're really blown up pretty big. My husband, Randy, turns the pages as I read them. And what's really, really cool is to watch the grown-ups, the adults who come, because, you know, they think, oh, this is going to be a little fluffy bunny. Isn't this fun? Isn't this nice hour for the kids to do something during festival? But then they're the ones whose jaws drop and whose eyes tear, and these are the stories that they wish that they had when they were growing up. So it's neat. It's really neat to watch.
Yeah. Yeah. When did you first create Rupert's Tales?
April of 2008.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was working I was working in construction. I used to dig ditches for a living.
Yeah.
And Rupert had been, you know, kind of thumping at me for a while in my head, and I pretty well ignored him the best I could because there's only so much time in a day. But one day I was working for about 2 hours, and I told my boss, I went to my foreman, and I said, today's the day. I have to go home. I have to write. And he already knew I was a writer, probably the best foreman in the whole wide world. And he said, okay, see you tomorrow. So I went home with my muddy boots and my muddy jeans, and I went to my computer. I sat down, and I wrote it. And that's how it all started. So
wow.
I thought I was done. Okay, I wrote one story. I thought I was done. And guess what?
You were just starting.
Surprise!
Oh,
yeah, no, Rupert is here to stay for the rest of our lives and beyond. And beyond, okay? Because,
well, that's good. I think that's a really good thing. What gave you the inspiration for Rupert?
Well, you really want to know the answer to that. And the true answer to that is that God and Goddess called us to create him. He's been there waiting for us to wake up and say, oh, I guess it's your turn, you know? So it's just because I would never, never have thought of writing children's books. I never would have. I've been writing fantasy genre, you know, novels, epic novels, okay, for decades. And to have a children's book what a surprise. I mean, it still surprises me. but I was at a family gathering, and my brothers were going on and on about this time when they were real little, two younger brothers, they were really little, and they heard noises in the middle of the night. And so they went to investigate, and they were going, elaborating on the story, which, and what, anyway, what happened is one of my sister-in-laws said, someone should write that story. My other sister-in-law said, well, Kira, you're the writer in the family. You should do it. And I'm like, no. Too late.
Yep.
Too late. And so I wrote a story called The Monster Got Mom. Okay. And it's all this rhyming stuff. Okay. And so that's when Rupert finally said, "Heh, I'll show you. You've been ignoring me. Ha, ha, ha."
Yeah.
So there we go. So, like I said, I was working construction. I had to pay attention to safety, you know, but other than that, I had a lot of time on my hands to write, and so I did. And that's where Rupert came from.
Well, it certainly sounds like you have a lot of fun with it.
I do.
Yeah.
You have no idea. Poor Randy, my husband, sits here, and I'm like, oh, I have another song. Okay. And, I mean, just the other day I woke up with a new idea for a board game. I'm like, could you please leave me alone, okay? I don't have enough time to do everything. So.
Welcome to the world of being a writer and artist, you know?
Yes. Yes.
The characters never leave, do they? They're in your
never.
Head all the time.
Never. Always something new, so.
Yeah. Well, how did you two meet and form this collaboration?
You want to take that one, Tanya?
No, go right ahead, honestly.
Oh, fine. Well, I knew her brother, actually, from my construction days.
Uh-huh.
And after I'd finished with several of the Rupert's Tales, there were quite a few of them before I actually thought of publishing them, because people started asking me. I had them out all over on Witchvox and on Yahoo groups and all over the place. I had them, just the words, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And people started asking me, oh, where can I buy this? Where can I get this? And I'm like, really? Really? Well, I better do something about this. So it was really, really cool. I got to tell you, Ariel, it was just so incredible because this is one of those it never happens stories. And I wrote to, and so I had all these rhyming stories. Okay, they are not poems. They are stories that happen to rhyme. I don't write poetry. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to make sure that they didn't look like poems, I had to draw sketches, okay, and, you know, stick figures, really. So that's what I did, and I made them look like books, and I sent them to Schiffer. And he wrote, and the CEO, the president of Schiffer Publishing, wrote me back within an hour and said, I want to see more.
Yeah. Yeah, that must have been.
I fell to the floor screaming, crying, laughing. Yay, thank you, God and Goddess. Thank you, you know.
Yeah.
Literally on my knees on the floor. It was incredible. So now they said, so what about illustrations? And I thought, well, aren't you going to do that? No, let us know what you want to do. And I'm, So at first I wanted my sister to do it, Rachel, because she is quite the artist herself. Unfortunately, after 2.5 months of not being able to get anything from her, because she was at that time a single parent of three small children.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have time to breathe then, okay,
no.
Let alone draw.
Yeah.
So I was complaining to my best friend, Sean, and said, you know, doggone it, I want to get this done, and Schiffer's waiting for it. What do I do? He said, I already told you my sister is an artist. Hello, you know. You know, I said, yeah, you know. But see, I'd already written to her and didn't hear back from her. And she'll tell you about that in just a second. But so Sean, right then and there, called her and said, hey, you know, you ought to take a look at this stuff. And she's like, yeah, okay, fine, whatever. She was really sick, 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 okay? And so from that inauspicious beginning has bloomed an incredible story of its own. So,
wow.
So, but she wrote wrote, you know, she asked me a bunch of questions and said, well, what about this and what about that? And look, the drawings you have him, you know, like with buck teeth. You really want that? She still ribs me about that. And I said, no. She says, do you want a bunny or a rabbit? Or do you want a hare? I said, what's the difference? So she told me. So Rupert the rabbit looks the way he does because she asked 100 gazillion questions to get it just right.
Actually, if to be quite honest, I asked her if she wanted it to be more realistic or cartoony. And she said, I go, or somewhere in the middle. She said, I don't know.
Yeah.
And I went, okay.
Thanks.
So I read it. I mean, I asked her lots of questions, but she really didn't answer them.
So you just kind of went with it, huh?
So I read it. I read the story, and then I decided to approach it. I slept on it, and it came to me what I needed to do, and I told her, I said, well, I'm just going to do this. Whatever comes out, you tell me what we need to change, and we'll go from there. We'll establish, you know, at least the main character. And mind you, I have never done children's books before.
Mm-hmm.
I've always fine art, like I sold fine art, you know, internationally. I've done collections, you know, it was all fine art. I'd never really done a children's book except for the one I did myself when I was 11.
Wow.
It's cute, too, I got to tell you.
So there's a big difference in today's illustrators than what there was even, you know, 20 years ago because now it's all technical. And and I was not an illustrator. I was a fine art, and there's a huge difference in that because of just the way you perform or how you, you know, create piece. So I thought, well, I'll do what I can, whatever comes to me, and you can tell me what you need to change. And I thought, well, let's just go with it and see what happens. And I explained that to her. And then I sent her the image, and I thought I had screwed up big time. Because, and I was furious because I didn't want to do it. My brother, I thought it was a scam. And my brother had begged me to do this, and I thought I would try. But I thought, here we go. You know, writers are artists too, and they're very picky. How am I supposed to know this woman hundreds of miles away what the heck she wants, you know, and I don't know her, never met her. I'm just looking at chicken scratches on paper and handwritten, and I'm going, all right, we'll do this. When she received the first image of Rupert, she was so, it was like she had known him her whole life. It was like I jumped in her brain and I painted exactly what she saw.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It has just been incredible, just incredible. Every time she sends me a picture, I cry.
Yeah, and we're not just crying. I mean, we're like a laughing, hysterical, bawling.
I got to tell you, she does this to me on purpose. Okay, I'm going to send you something. Watch for it now, okay? Open up your email. I want to hear your reaction, okay?
Because I know if it's good or bad then.
Yeah, she's awful.
Well, I really wish we had a way to show our listeners the illustrations because they are just wonderful. They're so sweet. I mean, you can't help but fall in love with Rupert.
True, absolutely true. Well, there's a way to do that. You know, you can get the books.
Yeah, and then you can have it forever. I should also add that I love to read fairy tales and children's books, and I've done it all my life, and I'm extremely picky about illustrations, and I find that many children's books, possibly even most, I just don't care for the illustrations. They just don't do it for me somehow. But yours, Tanya, they're warm. They're warm and soft and just very sweet. And I think that's a good thing for a child, you know?
Well, they're also vibrant and alive and not just, you know, a picture there. You can feel the emotions of the animals, of the, you know, what's going on. You really can.
Well, I think that's where I finally, it hit me, because as we were creating this, I realized that after reading the story, I mean, you know, when she's writing it, I'm sure it's just like flooding her mind. But at the same time, you have to ask yourself, how many times have you walked into Barnes & Noble or any store and been able to pick up a book that could teach a child of, you know, anything other than see the dog run, jump, run. I mean, yes, there's many books out there that are out there to teach children, but how many have this theme? You know, this genre, this they can teach children and adults the different Sabbaths and the rituals. And, I mean, it's a different book. So then it hit me. That's why it works, because I don't illustrate like everybody else. Mm-hmm. I was never taught to be in this mold,
right?
You know, to fit everyone else's idea of illustrating. So what I gave her was pretty much given to me.
Yes.
It just came to me, and it seemed to work well.
Yes.
What a wonderful
The other thing
color.
About her illustrations, though, Ariel, is that she makes me be very – she keeps me in line.
She keeps you in line?
She does, because I am a very, very, very colorful person. And, I know. And I want everything in vibrant, beautiful, you know, neon, fluorescent colors and everything. And when we did our third book, which is Rupert's Tales, Rupert Helps Clean Up, and it's coming out later this year, there's this is my favorite part. I have a snail here at the house that I got from a local metaphysical store called Mystical Sense, and it was brown when I got it. And I painted it a lot. And now she is one of the characters in our story, and her name is Cherie the snail, you know, like mon chéri. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Only it's Cherie, Sharee. So, because it has to be, starts with an S, because snail starts with an S. So, anyway. So, I have this vibrantly colored fluorescent that glows in black light snail in my house, okay? And the story has a snail in it, Cherie the snail. And she sent me back an illustration that has a beige and a blue snail. I was like, yo, what's this? You know? And she's like, okay, can you find a snail that looks like your snail in nature? I said, no. She said, well then. I said, you're right. So she keeps me straight. She keeps me straight.
Oh boy. Well, do you want to tell us a little bit about your board game?
Yes. Love to. Thank you. Well, it's called the Wheel of the Year board game, Rupert's Tales, the Wheel of the Year board game. And it is really super cool. And it just amazes me after I made it that someone else hadn't already made it. And it doesn't have to be Rupert's Tales, it could have been anything at all. Because it's really neat how, you know, you start at Yule and you go around the Wheel of the Year back to Yule in a circle, okay, and you go through each of the Sabbaths. And like Imbolc, there's different things that happen, you know, through each Sabbath. And like if you hit Ostara, the spring equinox, well, you get to spring forward to Letha, okay? And if you land right on the Sabbath, okay? And it's very much like Candyland, if you will, in that you don't have to know how to read in order to play it. And so if you hit the autumn equinox, then you fall back to Letha, okay? And you lose a turn on this Sabbath, can't think ahead of myself here, Letha, Lammas. Okay, Lammas, Lunasa, you lose a turn because you're harvesting, okay, and those kinds of things. And so it's a lot of fun. You get to jump the Beltane flame if you hit the right one, those kinds of things. The thing is that it's so much fun just playing it like that, but we have another level. So if you are older, you can use the Sabbath clue cards. And so you draw a card each time that it's your turn. And if you get the answer correct, tell us which Sabbath we're describing, then you get to move forward the number on the die. If you get it wrong, you have to move backwards on the die. So it's really, really a lot of fun to play. So we're hoping that with hopefully in 2014 is when we'll see the board game come out.
In 2014? Okay.
Yes.
All right. And what age group is that for? Is that any particular age group?
Well, again, what age group is Candyland? So it's that
okay.
For the part where you where you don't have to know how to read in order to play,
mm-hmm.
and then a whole another age group is added because if you use the Sabbat clue cards, then it makes it more interesting, and you learn even more about the Wheel of the Year, the Sabbats during the Wheel of the Year. So,
mm-hmm.
but no matter what you do, how you play it, you're going to learn some the Sabbats of the Wheel of the Year.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, well, now, Kara, you've been the captain of an official Adopt-A-Road crew for more than 2.5 years now. Is your experience with this program what inspired you to write the next book that will be released, Rupert's Tales, Rupert Helps Clean Up?
Yes and no. It's just all part of the same thing. You know, we're walking our talk, you know, and
mm-hmm.
What's really cool is that 4 times a year we gather to clean up our assigned roadway. And because the people that do come, the volunteers that come, I want them to feel special. I want them to feel appreciated for what they're doing and helping to clean Mother Earth. I'm sure there's plenty of other people that do it without doing it in an organized manner. But to come out and clean the roadway, you know, for the community, I like to reward that by reading my latest Rupert's Tales, and because I've written many more than what's already out on the market. And so so we have a lot of fun with that. And we also provide free pizza, and the county provides water, and we end up having a really good time and, you know, doing something important all at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, our Friends of Rupert cleanup team almost 3 years old. In May, will be our third anniversary. And we do it 4 times a year. And the last time that we did it, one of our local businesses actually joined us. Domino's Pizza actually joined us. And not only did they give us free pizzas, but they also had 7 people that joined us to help clean up, too. So it's continually evolving.
Yeah.
It's inspiring. It inspires others.
Yes,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Exactly. So
yeah.
So it's an important part of, you know, what we do, the reduce, reuse, recycle. And I felt that, again, with Rupert, I don't necessarily have a lot to say about it. I mean, yes and no. I mean, all these ideas come all the time, but it whether I like it or not, okay. But he pretty much says, okay, well, now it's time to write this one, and he won't leave me alone. He's always thumping me, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, but it was interesting, Ariel, because, you know, what does a rabbit need to know about reducing, reusing, and recycling? Really? Really? Well, yes, really. So he's gotten to go some really interesting places in our next book, some places I never knew he would be. Never. So I often have to say, oh, I wish I would have thought of that when I'm writing.
Oh, this is wild. I mean, it's like you really do have a relationship with your characters.
Truly,
that sounds
truly.
So fun.
In fact, you know, I have a difficult time calling them that word, the C word, characters, okay, because
mm-hmm.
I know them better than I know you, you know, a
yeah.
real living person. And so, yeah. That's why it's hard for me, because I feel like they're more alive than
uh-huh.
most people that I know. So
yeah.
Well, and I just want to add to that really quick. When she sends the stories to me, you know, sometimes she doesn't always send the drawings, but I kind of need that to see where her mind is.
Yeah.
But whenever I create a character, whether I'm drawing, a person or an animal or whatever I'm creating, a lot of people find it fascinating, and that might kind of have something to do with what you're talking about here. When I am creating an image, I create their eyes first.
Yeah.
If they have eyes.
Cherie doesn't have eyes.
Not necessarily, but
they know.
Because that's what I think, you know, is a whole universe within itself. You know, it's the mirrors of the soul. So whenever you create anything, you create that eye. So as you're creating it, this comes to life to you because you're looking into the eyes of the, you know, creature or person that you're creating, and you're telling their story as you paint them.
Mhm. Yeah.
So that's kind of how, you know, I approach it on my end. And with her, with Kira, she's already, you know, these are in her head. You know, she could possibly be committed if she didn't put this down in a book form.
You know, I think that's probably true of all creative, you know, writers and artists. I mean, it just has to, it has to come out, you know.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
They don't leave
There's
you alone.
There's not a medication that can help with that, you know. It's just,
not again.
It has to be. So she is living it, breathing it, and if you do go to her website or her Facebook page, you will be blown away. Disney has nothing this lady. I mean, she is living, she is truly living color.
Well, we need to take a little break right now, and we're going to play a song by Kenny Kline.
Along the river bright and the bayou churning, they dance veiled in white to the fires burning. Maidens called Bambula, Jimbe conjures souls. Below I gathered soon there around Marie Louvaux. Down on Congo Square, the insistent beating, when rum was shared and the dove wings beating, the rhythms echoed long then on the river's flow. Egrets heard the songs of Marie Louvaux. You can carve an X on a grave if you can find it. You can leave all the mojo you have and she will find it. By live oak and by palm, by heron and by crow, you can leave your cares beside Marie Louvaux. Ride me like the river, ride me like the tide, take me past the crossroads to the other side. Ride me like the river, ride me like the tide, take me past the crossroads to the other side. Ride me like the river, ride me like the tide, take me past the crossroads to the other side. In the air, the silence in the water, fire eats despair, the earth hides her daughter. Don't draw too near, lest the spell you know leave a lock of hair for Marie Laveau. You can carve an X on her grave if you can find it. You can leave all the mojo you have, and she will find it. By live oak and by palm, by heron and by crow, you can leave your cares beside.
That was Kenny Klein with Marie Laveau, and that's why he's Kenny Klein. He's just fine. And we're back here with Kira and Tanya, author and illustrator of Rupert's Tales. And I'd like to invite our listeners to call in, and our number is 718-664-6436. Feel free to call in if you've got a question, a comment, or you'd just like to say hello. Let us know that that you're out there. I wanted to ask you both a question, and it's this. Years ago, I was talking with a therapist. I went to a talk that he was giving, and this was a man who had a practice that was solely artists, dancers, writers, and other creative types.
Oh.
And he had been just regular marriage and family therapist. And what he noticed was that with all of the creative types, people who did their creativity for a living, that were constantly doing it, that they would go through phases. And it was just like a marriage. And sometimes it was wonderful. Sometimes it was difficult, and it was a lot of hard work. And even sometimes people wanted a divorce, you know? So I'm wondering how you both feel about that.
Tanya, you care to comment?
Well, I think that, actually, I don't know how long, I mean, Kira's written her whole life or not, I really don't know, but for me, I've been, you know, painting since before I could walk.
Yeah.
And a lot of the times in my life, when I strayed away from it, it was because of life, you know, because of financial, or, you know, you don't have time because you have to work, or you have kids, or, you know, more than anything in my younger years was the negativity that, you know, my family was like, you know, adamant, you do not need to be an artist. You will never make any money at this.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of that. It's hard to be an artist and be in marketing and be, you know, a mom, whatever, you know, everything else you do.
Mm-hmm.
It's really hard to be creative and exist in a world of technology.
Yeah.
You know, in any world, really, because
yeah.
it's survival. So,
yeah,
I think that's really true. In fact, for myself, I've actually stepped away from painting for a while, and I just started after, you know, I mean, I probably haven't painted for myself in almost 2 years.
Wow.
I mean, other than Rupert. And that's without Rupert. I probably would have been a lot longer that I haven't painted. But mm-hmm. I owned a business, and the business became, you know, my life. And it wasn't an art gallery I had for almost a decade. And it was in the small town I'm from here. But it became so much of a demand on the business aspect that it wasn't fun anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I just didn't have time to create. And I began to hate it because everything about it was killing me.
Was business instead of creativity. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I couldn't separate them. And
mm-hmm.
then it started, it was just like dominoes, you know, it just steamrolls your life. So I absolutely, I mean, I would go to that gentleman if I'm absolutely positive that being a creative type person, you really have to have a lot of support in your immediate
mm-hmm.
family to do so.
Yes, you do.
Or from somewhere, a group. I mean, I've known people that had like artist support group, you know, and they would meet once a month or whatever.
The problem is that most of those people, though, are just if they make you feel better about yourself, because 9 times out of 10, they're just as crazy or worse off than you are.
There's a small problem there. That's right.
Yeah, well, but I look at it because I'm a creative type too, and I got stuck doing office work for years. And I tell
right.
you, that's how I got. I was sick. I got really sick after a while.
Yeah.
But creative process is something, people that are not creative, you know, people that are like accountants and things, have a really hard time understanding the creative process. And I we can't just work in an office. We just can't.
No.
We just can't. That's it, you know. It's like expecting your dog to go to work and be a secretary. You would not be happy living in an office.
Well, I did some creative stuff while I was working in an office, okay, because it was all numbers, and I really hate numbers. I really, like, really hate numbers, and that's what
yeah.
I had to do all the time. And so I got really creative in how to present them. I added colors and columns and numbers and stuff, you know, so I got creative that way, and it probably cost me quite a few hours of work to do it that way, but at least I could breathe, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I hear you.
Now, fortunately, go ahead.
I hear you, Tanya, about the when it became work, and this is really why we made Green Egg Free, because my husband and I were, I had very bad health, and it was a real struggle to get out the issues sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And the work part of it came because I had to keep track of who'd paid for a subscription, get them signed up, and, you know, keep books and all of that stuff. And I can do it, but I just hate it. I absolutely hate it. And so we made it free, and Green Egg's been fun ever since.
Right.
And we got a whole lot more people, too.
Yes, yes, yeah. Yes. Exactly.
You know, so,
fortunately, I have the absolutely the best, most wonderful, incredible life mate that anyone could ever have. In that, he doesn't just support me. Randy celebrates everything, Kira. I mean, everything.
Oh.
I'm telling you, if I get paint on the floor, he's like, "Oh, isn't that cool?" You know. No.
He does. He's amazing.
He really is amazing beyond what I can. If I were to tell you, you'd be like, "Yeah, right. That's nice. You're making that stuff up." But I'm really, really not. I mean, when we go to these festivals and activities and stuff, he now has grown his hair long. Okay, he looks like an old hippie if you see him.
All right.
He's
an old hippie.
But anyway, he colors his hair and his mustache, okay, to go with whatever we're doing. I mean, he's had purple, orange, red, blue, green, everywhere. And when people see him without it dyed, it's like, hey, who are you?
Yeah.
And I've made costumes for him. Oh, one time I even braided his hair and took pictures of him and put him on Facebook. Just because I can, because he's so much fun. So,
sounds like it. Well, sounds like a really great partner for an artist.
He is, too.
3-5. Yeah. You're on the air.
Oh, hi.
Hi, who are we talking to here?
This is Candy. I know.
Hi, Candy.
Kira. Yes.
Hi, Candy.
Hello,
hello, hello.
I just wanted to call in and say hello, and that I've known Kira for quite a while.
Yeah.
And I've actually seen her transform from, dare I say.
Go ahead.
Well, you know, she used to be kind of a bit of a negative person and grumpy sometimes. But I've seen her blossom into just honestly the happiest person I've ever known.
Yeah.
And such a wonderful and talented artist and writer. And I just wanted to let everyone know that she's really, truly an amazing person.
Mm-hmm. Thank
yeah.
you, Candy. Candy actually has edited, I can never say that word, some of my fantasy genre books from once upon a time ago. And she personally knows Sean, who is Tanya's brother. Don't you like the way I said that? Anyway.
Yes.
So.
Yes, and I want to add that I never liked fantasy novels. That wasn't my thing. But since, you know, she was my friend and coworker, I thought, well, you know, I'll read it. But I couldn't get enough of it. I kept coming back to her. Give me more. It was just so good.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Very talented.
Yeah. Well, thanks for calling in, Candy. Thank you, Candy.
You're welcome. Oh,
yeah.
You're welcome. I will talk
you.
To you soon, Kira.
Yes, you will.
Okay.
I wanted to ask you, Tanya, that I hear you've recently moved and you have both a house and a cottage and that you have plans to do some interesting things with the cottage where Rupert is concerned. Can you tell us what kinds of things?
Yeah, I would, instead of going to, you know, different bookstores, different businesses, because I found that a lot of the people that really want Rupert's Tales in their store and that really, you know, crave it are more on the mystical stores, and, you know, it's just they don't have the ability as a local bookstore would to get those access to what they want. But they're very comfortable when you're there, and they're fun people, and I have some great friends in Cleveland. We talked about that earlier. Up there as well, which is the Goddess Blessed Temple up there.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking with her and whatnot, I've decided that, you know, a lot of times people want to see, and just with the same as with Kira and her glitter dome, people want to see where Rupert's created. Well, I have a lot of people ask me questions all the time about coming to my studio, and they want to come out and see. And we actually are going to set up the cottage so that's where I'll be painting, and we're going to have Rupert and a Roxanne rabbit because my daughter's 13,
mm-hmm.
and she's decided that she wants to have every creature that Kira comes up with and have her Rupert's Tales here. So basically what we're going to do is invite people out, and artists, and anybody that wants to come out and, you know, get to visit the cabin and the studio and see where Rupert was created.
Oh, what a wonderful idea.
Yeah.
So he'll really be real to
yeah, he'll be
whip,
here.
So.
We
yeah.
have we have 8 acres of woods here that,
oh,
you know,
nice.
That's got the paths and everything through it. And it's a beautiful, beautiful spot. It's up on a hill and it's amazing. So, you know, we have waterfalls and a gazebo, and it's just a beautiful place to come out and experience nature.
Yeah. Oh, it sounds wonderful. Wonderful.
Yeah, we really love it.
Yeah. Now, you're in Ohio. Are you going to be at Starwood this coming summer?
I might. I've just recently started looking back into what, you know, events and festivals that we're going to do for the next release and then our books and take them with us. I mean, we do have quite a few building up.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. And now there's a couple of projects here that I wanted to ask you about, and one is about the Friends of Rupert show that I've been hearing about. Do you want to tell our
yes.
listeners a little bit about that?
Well, there's lots of different segments on it. There's the first episode is up and has been for about 2 weeks now. The second episode will be up tonight. And there's a variety of segments in each episode that you can click on to either to either hear or listen, sing along, all kinds of fun stuff. But it's also, just like Rupert's Tales, it is educational and entertaining all at the same time at a kid's level. So we can have a lot of fun with that. Now, fortunately, I know lots and lots of people throughout many different places that like to already do that for a living, or like what we do, you know, we do it because we can, because it's time, those types of things, that they're already doing it, like Laura Gaddis of Puka Pages. She does, you know, she's been doing that e-zine for 10 years, and lots of other people like that, I know them, and so they will be contributing different segments to the show as well, because it's a Friends of Rupert show, so... Mm-hmm. It's going to be, it already is fun. Go click on the-illuminati-network.com, and you'll click on the TV tab, and then you will see us, that we are there, the Friends of Rupert Show. Woohoo!
All right.
I hope you like to sing. That's all I got to say about that. Okay. the studio is in our home, and I've painted it myself and all that, so it's very, very colorful. And just take a look, because it's fun. It's fun. So,
okay.
Four more episodes to come. It'll be probably about 3 episodes a month, and to teach just like the things that are in the books. I know you don't know yet, but we also have, you know, like I said, our third book is Rupert Helps Clean Up, so it's Reduce, Reuse, Recycle. A book after that is going to be probably 4 stories about bedtime stories. After that is. Probably will be the tools of the craft. Rupert learns about making magic and all the different tools that we use, including the moon phases and altars and imagination and intention and all those kinds of things. And then the last book that's fully written at this point is also The Nature of Elements. So you can guess there's 4 stories, 1 for air, fire, water, and earth. I'm halfway through writing book 7 at this point. So, you know, we're waiting for a publisher to catch up.
Well, now, you also mentioned a book called Me's Search for Beauty. Is this also a children's book?
I wouldn't say so, no. It's more young adult.
Okay.
And it has nothing to do with Rupert. This one is entirely different. It has to do with self-worth. And those kinds of things. And this is the first in a series, which we will all find out what happens as I have the opportunity to write. Because every single person that's read it so far has said, well, what happens? I want to know what happens. Why don't you write some more? So you can't ask for more than that, right?
No, I don't think so.
No, but again, like you said, you like fairy tales and fantasy and that type of thing. It has a very ancient Asian taste and flair to it. And Mi is the 6th daughter of a couple in ancient Japan, actually.
Oh.
So, and she was not foretold, and so we got some mystical stuff going on there. So.
Okay.
Yeah,
it's a fabulous story.
It is. And that one was actually written because of my granddaughter, Brittany, and her, you know, so very often, Ariel, young people, I mean, all of us, all throughout our lives, you know, we feel less than for a lot of different reasons. But very often the younger set spends an awful lot of time feeling less than because of how they look.
Yeah.
And this story, it directly addresses that. So you'll have to read it to find out more.
It's definitely one of her books that leaves you wanting more, which is, you know, what you always, you love it, but you hate it as a reader, you know, because you want to know what happens and you don't want to wait.
Yeah.
And again, Tanya has done the illustrations for this book. Now, these are not the Rupert illustrations. These are not the vibrant colors and everything. This, again, this is very much different than Rupert. These are the, what do you call them, Tanya?
They're
not sketches.
Drawings. They're ink.
Sorry?
Ink. Pen and ink.
There you go. So the cover is brilliant color, as always, but the inside illustrations are just the black and white.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I actually created the cover in a watercolor with bamboo brushes. And the same with the illustrations. I used a bamboo brush with ink and pen and ink and did it the old style because it just felt like that's what needed to be done for that story.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, it sounds beautiful.
It is.
I'm wondering, we know that you both teach others through Rupert and the lessons he learns in the books, but can you tell us what he has taught the both of you?
Well, go ahead, Tanya.
No, go right ahead.
Well, what he's taught me is that I can indeed do anything. Yes, I can. And he's taught, what's really interesting is that, you know, when you do something, it's one thing. When you teach someone, you have to really know what it is that you believe and you think first.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that is really what I have discovered through Rupert, what it is that I really do, what's important to me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What is important to you, if I might ask?
Okay. Well, for me, liking myself first and best is the very most important thing. Believing in myself, having confidence, knowing that I am good enough.
Mm-hmm.
That is the very, very most important, the foundation. And from there, I can explore any and everything that I am or wish to be or don't want to be. I can find out those kinds of things out. So that's what's important to me, is knowing that it's okay to be who I am.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
I think it's really important for any creative type of person.
Yeah.
Because that's, I mean, really, what is your work, but your art and your writings, but yourself. It comes right out of yourself. I mean, this is why creative people have such a close relationship to their work, because it is them, literally.
Another level of that, though, is also that this is my service to my gods.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's important that it be good.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it be right, and that I'm doing what I think I should be doing with and for them as well.
Yeah, okay. Well, we're coming to the end of our show, but before we close, I want to ask both of you, now where can we find you on the internet? You've got several websites here, so if you want to give us the URLs for that.
Okay, if you will just look for Friends of Rupert, friendsofrupert.com, Friends of Rupert on YouTube, Friends of Rupert on Twitter, Friends of Rupert on Facebook, that's where we are. Friends of Rupert at yahoo.com, if you care to drop us a note.
Okay, all right. And if you, listeners, if you didn't get all that down, we're going to have this up on the Green Egg site within a couple of days. Okay. So I want to thank you both, Tanya and Kira, thank you for being on our show. It's just been delightful, and I love your work.
Thank you so much, Ariel. Thank you.
Okay. I wish you all the luck in the world, and we'll probably have you back on again later.
Terrific.
Thank you.
Okay. That's our show for tonight, folks. Join us next week when our guest is S.J. Tucker, pagan musician extraordinaire, and she's also got a new film project she's going to be working on. And you can find out more about her at sjtucker.com. And that's our show. Good night, everybody. Good night, Tom and Aubrey, wherever you are.
You're listening to Aram Artefio Radio, your source for the alternative viewpoint to the news around you. In between the amazing shows here, I invite you to check out Rocked Soul Radio, the latest source for alternative music and metaphysical talk on the web. Click over to rockedsoulradio.com or find us on the Live 365 mobile app by searching Rocked Soul Radio. That's Rocked, R-O-C-K-D, Soul Radio.